I think we had six. We have 30 minutes. It'd be five if everybody was exactly on target. Let's say four and a half. Okay, four. Let's say 4 minutes.
Yeah, won't take 4 minutes, but I'll take two or three. I'm Kelly O'Ramaris, news tech journalist and board op at KPFA, one of the reporters arrested in the newsroom on July 13, 1999, and co-founder of Guns and Butter. On June 29th, I was informed that my work hours would be cut from 11 per week to 6, a 45% reduction, mostly in my hours as the weekend news tech. 6 hours a week is not enough to live on. And I will also add, since Anthony Fest brought up Ann Garrison gives me credit for putting technically together her stories. And she's not the only one. Is KPFA really so broke that it cannot pay me a little more than $1,200 over the next 3 months? Because that is the difference between 11 hours and 6 for me until the end of the fiscal year. If so, what is the cause? If KPFA's budget problem is that the payroll is too top-heavy with full-time benefited employees, why make such devastating cuts to a quarter-time worker with no benefits? During the recent fundraiser, two Saturday evening news programs were preempted in an unprecedented move. Now, the weekend news tech hours are almost entirely eliminated. Is this really an economic necessity, or is it part of a plan to eventually ditch the weekend news altogether? Or is it just further exploitation of non-union part-timers? Or is it a mistake by our bean-counting interim GM, whose LinkedIn profile shows that he's all HR and no radio? He shows no regard for the consequences to programming on a 24/7, 365 operation of slashing someone who works weekends and holidays and who fills in when people are sick, on vacation, on special assignment, or have a household emergency. Did Pacifica consider other budget options, such as National taking a smaller cut of our fundraising, or renegotiating the contract for Democracy Now, which has formed partnerships that give it alternative resources? Don't hope for better times to help the budget. Mark my words, we are experiencing the collapse of industrial civilization. So now is the time for alleged progressives to prove that another world really is possible. Shredding the livelihoods of poor workers to achieve a certain bottom line is not alternative or progressive. It's Schwarzenegger cutting IHSS. It is the Congress dragging the feet to extending unemployment benefits. It's BP. Pacifica hires an election supervisor while they cannot keep a news tech at quarter-time hours? Is this the business of elections or radio? To those who say that I should not criticize this expenditure because we must democratize Pacifica, I quote Confucius, you cannot teach philosophy to a hungry man. And I will also say to those of you who are talking about news staffs in other places that KPFA is overstaffed, I think you're understaffed. I refuse to be the collateral damage of the mistakes and malfeasances of KPFA management past or present, and I refuse to be sacrificed on the altar of democratization. So I have given notice that July 25th is my last work day. You can all go exploit someone else. Goodbye.
William is the next speaker.
Thank you.
Hello. Hello. William Heerwagen from New York. Hello, everybody. I think I know most of you. Maybe not everyone. I think there's one person down here I don't know yet. Nice to see you all here in Berkeley. And I always have problems trying to figure out what I'm going to say here, but I was given great material just by being here the last hour or two. I missed the part of the meeting, but I heard some interesting things. I heard our new interim general manager at WBAI, Bertold Reimers, talking about several things. Small comment on one of the items. He talked about the phones being put in. It's my understanding, and I haven't seen anything in writing, but it's just my understanding that the phones were purchased without good consultation with technical people, And that's why they're having, that's probably part of the reason they're having a lot, so many problems with it, putting the phones in at BAI. And I also understand that this phone system is geared toward internet transmission, which really isn't suitable for a professional radio station licensed by the FCC. And then there was another item that Mr. Reimers reminded me of. He mentioned that there was some kind of discussions going on with, quote, the union, unquote. There are two unions in New York. There's the Unpaid Staff Organizing Committee, which I'm a member of, which has been totally ignored by management, and there's a good reason for it from their viewpoint, and one of them is specific. It was easily seen by Mr. Alex Steinberg's comment that he's been trying to start a program council. The USOC, or Unpaid Staff Organizing Committee agreement, along with AFTRA agreement, which is the paid staff, include the formation of the program council. The reason the program council didn't work, because many of the paid staff people never came that were supposed to come, directors of departments, never attended. Some of them attended, but some of them never attended one meeting of the program council, because I used to go to some of the meetings, even though I was not an official member. So ignoring unions is not a good thing. We're supposed to be a very progressive organization. I think unions should be recognized, and for an organization that's supposedly left-leaning, progressive, to just say, oh, we had an agreement, but we're not going to recognize it. We're going to throw the bums out. That doesn't seem right to me. Then let's see, what else? We had our human resource director, Ahmad Anderson, mentioned something about the management. So we call them management search committees. I don't even know what MASC, MASC, stands for, but the management search committees. He mentioned that chairperson in New York, Carolyn Burden. And then that brought me to what I was going to say, but then he went even further. But first let me say what I was going to say, that there are two listener members, Carolyn Burden, Steve Brown, who aren't even on the LSB. So what they're doing on that committee is just beyond me. And then I believe there's also a staff member that's still on that committee that's no longer on the LSB. It's absurd. These people have no business selecting management. And besides, that committee was supposed to be reconstituted by all readings of Robert's rules and the bylaws, and but the chairs of the various committees, like Burden and our LSB chair, just makes arbitrary rulings and say, nope, don't agree. So things like that don't happen. I hope we can get a little more progressive and stop regressing. Thank you.
Thank you.
Stan?
Hi, I'm Stan Woods, former member of the KPFA Local Station Board. A couple of thoughts. One, I want to agree with and elaborate a bit on KPFA's coverage of the Johannes Merzlich verdict, and how it dramatically contrasts with that of the corporate media. I can't even begin, and I include NPR as the corporate media in this regards. For those outside the Bay Area, you probably don't know, most of downtown Oakland was shut down within an hour of the verdict. I mean, it was incredible. There were alarms that went off. The verdict is about to be like we're going to be nuked in 5 minutes sort of a attitude. The verdict is about to come down. You have to leave the building. They literally evacuated the federal buildings, the state buildings, most businesses. Most people here probably aren't familiar with the geography of the Bay Area, at least those on the board, but I live about a mile from downtown. I sit on a street corner at about 4 o'clock, bumper-to-bumper traffic of people literally fleeing Oakland. And the corporate media was playing along with this doomsday scenario, with this gross fear-mongering, but not KPFA. I've had a love, well, not quite hate, but love-dislike relationship with a lot of the news and some of the programming over the years. But this time it went very well. Davy D. Cook just repudiated the lies, the fear-mongering, and Dennis Bernstein also, and others, urged people to come to a demonstration protesting the verdict. We got maybe 1,000, 1,500. It would have been many times more, except even many progressives got a little intimidated. why the corporate media focused on the Foot Locker and the looting of it and so on and so forth, KBFA coverage was far more in debt and talked about the main issue. How could somebody who cold-bloodedly murdered someone in view of the world be found guilty of involuntary manslaughter only, which is the type of thing that happens if you run a stoplight and accidentally hit somebody. Back to on programming a bit. I just want to reiterate the need, and hopefully we'll get it back in KPFA, the program council. I was on the program council for several years. So was Joe Gonzalo and Tracy Rosenberg and several other people in this room. And it worked. It wasn't perfect. It actually was tilted more towards the management and department heads than it was to rank-and-file staff and community members. But we made dozens of decisions. It's so bizarre to hear reactionary stuff like, you can't make decisions by committee. But we did for years. And we were pretty fair about it. There were shows that I can't stand, but shows that had a real base, a listening audience, and didn't, maybe tiptoe to the edge of our mission, but didn't cross over. So I voted for the damn things, and so did many of us. And it worked, but it was unilaterally eliminated by the former program director, Sasha Lilly, and it was no justification for it. Hopefully we can get it back. Hopefully you guys will, too. Just one reason, one of many reasons why it makes far more sense to have a program council that makes most of the programming decisions, but still leaves plenty for a program director to do to implement those decisions, to do the day-to-day decisions, to deal with emergencies like Johannes Merzlich's verdict or the earthquake that will probably happen this weekend. No, I'm just kidding. Let's take the third rail of American politics, the Israeli-Palestinian conflict, as we've recently seen with the issue of the Gaza flotilla. If one person, just one person, has sole decision-making power, what goes on or what doesn't go on, perhaps in consultation with the GM, I tell you, there's tremendous pressure on KPFA not to have something that even program that you can remotely consider pro-Palestinian. I'm sure in areas like New York, where the pro-Israeli lobby is far more vociferous and far more organized, you have some of the same problems there. Having a program council that can debate and decide and vote is a real barrier to pressures from outside interests to try to cut off controversial programming. Thank you.
Thank you.
The next person is Daniel.
Daniel?
What happened?
Is it working?
Yes.
I guess I have to leave it here. I'm Daniel, Daniel Borgstrom, and a KPFA listener. I've been attending LSB meetings for about 5 years now, and I also write reports on this, write articles about them. Some of you may have seen them. Anyway, some time ago, or recently, I was listening to a tutorial about the current election. This tutorial, the guy said, the host explained, well, I'm obliged to give this. And what was explained next, he had a guest explaining that this our system doesn't work. He hoped people would not vote in this, and that we needed to go back to the system we had back in 1998, thereabouts. And by the way, this is also on a website. I looked at the website. Yeah, he says that. It needs to go back to a system, self-appointed boards, that sort of stuff. Now, this isn't new, by the way. It's not all new. It's come out openly now, but it's been whispered. There's been articles, letters all along about this. And yet, these people, they toss out, this one and many others, they toss out a lot of criticisms of this electoral system. They never say exactly what their argument is. I mean, they toss out criticisms, but I would like to see an open debate on this, or a discussion. I believe that there should be a discussion. Now, maybe just maybe they have a good point. I don't like what they're saying, but I would like to hear them and hear them nailed down by some host who knows how to ask questions. I would like the whole thing to be discussed on the air or however. I would like to see it gone over very well. It is not gone over. These same people, they've done many things to... It looks to me like they're trying to sabotage our system. You know, we just heard from a person who has recently had her salary cut back and that. Well, you know, this was 5 years ago. It was brought up that we couldn't go on forever living high off the hog like we were. We needed to start thinking about our budget. That was brought up something like 5 years ago. People brought it up. It was ignored. Then a couple of years, later, eventually became talked about. And it's only recently that's been done. And why wasn't it done? Because there are two lefts. There's an autocratic left, a top, who believe in top-down stuff, and there's a democratic left. Now, I think most of us here are from the democratic left, but the autocratic left, they want to do things in their own way. If they don't get their way, they sabotage what's going on. But checks get misplaced, huge checks. I mean, we've probably all heard about it. Is my time up?
No, you got a minute.
Oh, okay. Well, I could go on and on about the things that have happened. At a recent LSB meetings, they... boycott meeting. If they don't win the majority, they boycott meetings. That's happened this spring. Sometimes they interrupt, they disrupt, and just walk up to the chair. In one case, walk up to the chair and start shouting in the face of the chair. That happened. A guy who's a trained boxer. That could be kind of threatening, you know. But I want... So there's an endless list of things that could be mentioned. But what I would like to see, it all comes down to that. They want to run the system their own way. They don't say what their plan is. I would like to see them nailed down. I would like to see an open discussion of this.
Thank you
very much.
Thank you.
All right, next speaker is Serene.
Hello, everyone. I hope there'll be some grace period for the fact that my body's telling me it's after midnight. So give me some extra time. I hope that at some point there'll be a discussion on this board, an open public discussion about hiring practices in Pacifica, because they stink. At WPFW, I was at a board meeting sometime a couple of months ago. The board was reading an email in which they were advised that a posting, that an engineer had been hired. None of the staff had ever seen a posting. There was no posting for the hire. I heard a comment that KPFK is trying to regenerate its news department. I'd like to see what happens to the staff who had been laid off from that department when it was shut down or whatever it was done to it to come up with this statewide newscast. It was ironic to hear Berthold Reimers say he was meeting with the union about hiring practices, because he himself, of course, is a product of a completely illegitimate hiring practice. He was brought on as a consultant with no notice. He was then made a national consultant with no notice. He was made IGM with no notice. Hey, but he's talking to the union about hiring practices. No small irony there. I remember hearing the personnel committee of the PNB say that no CFO was going to be hired until an ED was in place. And then suddenly this person who had been hired as interim CFO, in the middle of the night, again, with no posting, and if her work is to be examined with little qualification for the actual job, was announced as the permanent CFO. The HR director position was posted a few places. We didn't hear much about it, and then suddenly the interim HR person was the HR person. And then when next we heard, he was the IGM at KPFA. And now there's another person at KPFA who's helping with human resources stuff elsewhere in the network, where was that job posted? The management search committees, which are hiring four, is it? Are we up to four GMs now? Dwayne, I think, being the only regular person. Not that you're ordinary, Dwayne, but the only regular person. The committees are certainly in New York, again, completely illegitimate. When you bring people in under these circumstances, you almost sabotage them before they begin. In New York, the board majority insisted on a specific formula. They have been completely out of compliance with that formula, the formula that they insisted on in the motion that created them. Yet we're supposed to somehow respect the practices that come out of that. The fish, they say, stinks from the head. You guys, for whatever it's worth, are the head. Okay, so normally when teenagers are getting into themselves and getting a little funky, they say they're smelling themselves. But generally, it's not a good thing to smell yourself. But maybe, you know, seriously, maybe you guys need to take a whiff about at what you're putting out in the name of a supposedly progressive foundation and have an open discussion of, I keep hearing the term professional HR people. I guess I don't know what that means in the corporate world. I don't know what it means in Pacifica. I suspect you guys need to at least discuss what it is you think you're doing, because what you say you want and what you're doing are not, they don't coincide. They don't jive. How much more time do I have? This is a beautiful thing. I heard Ahmad Anderson say this, and it seems to have been a practice developing on the local boards as well as the Pacifica National Board. We got rid of the executive committee on the national board, which means each of the 22 of you directors, you know, those I love and those I don't, are entitled to the same access in terms of information. So when he makes statements, well, George was aware and several other board members as well, anything that happens in the foundation, each and every board member has an equal right to know. The chair doesn't get any special information. You know, this person doesn't get a call. That person doesn't get a... You're all equally responsible legally, and maybe that should serve as motivation to make sure that the information really is being spread evenly. Everyone we know, you got your clicks and you got your private calls and, you know, hey, whatever. But when it comes to foundation business on an official tip, y'all better watch what you're doing.
Thank you.
The next speaker is Jonathan.
Good evening, everybody. My name is Jonathan Silverman, and I'm here actually in support of Kelly Ramirez. And I've kind of got a written statement here that I would like to address the board with. In January of this year, I started coming in to do some reporting on Saturday for the evening news. And I was and still am amazed at Kelia, how she can come in. And at around 3 o'clock, which she does every Saturday, and be able to stabilize the chaos and help myself and others to successfully have our stories ready to go and on the air by 6 p.m. In the 6 months since I've been reporting, she has been a competent and reliable resource towards helping me make my stories productive, though I'm somewhat challenged technologically. She has consistently been there to assist me. I feel that Kelia is an invaluable asset to KPFA in the newsroom. Her presence there has a direct impact on whether the evening news on the weekends is successful or not. All the volunteers who come in every weekend are making a contribution to the success of weekend evening news. If anything, as Kelia has stated, we have the need for an additional part-time tech person. We all should be going out of our way to support Kelia in getting her former hours back for the good of all of KPFA. Though KPFA's financial resources may be limited, the station offers our listening audience a chance to hear perspectives on news, politics, contemporary issues that they can't get anywhere else on corporate-sponsored radio. It is our duty as participants with KPFA to support each other in providing that there's an alternative voice that allows the truth to be expressed. Kelia should be returned to her previous hours with no interruption in her previous schedule. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
The next speaker is Virginia. Okay, then the next speaker is Brian.
Look at some of the broader issues. It was 11 long years ago, this, as of two days ago, this weekend, that the KPFA lockout happened, and it was important. In those days, we were faced with a serious problem, that there had to be a station that answered only to its listeners as the media was falling into fewer and fewer hands and things. And it was important. At the same time, I am concerned that a lot of, well, it is good that Pacifica reports news. I was back east when the Meschery verdict happened, and my only source of news was the New York Times, which is, by the standards of a corporate media, pretty good. I didn't even know about some of that stuff until just getting at the meeting. At the same time, I am concerned about the fact that the Pacifica Foundation, Pacifica Network, is perpetuating a, with few exceptions, a pattern of ideological conformity and creating a left that is not going to be taken seriously by the mainstream. Pacifica has to take a middle path between the being an NPR clone and on the other hand, being so removed from the mainstream and anti-intellectual that it cannot be taken seriously. When I quote Pacifica to my sister on anything, she laughs at me and dismisses the network as just some goofy far-left outfit, and that unfortunately is the reputation we have. We need a serious critical left that is also willing to take on and say that certain sacred cows of the left, like Noam Chomsky, while they may be right, have their limits, and that we should not have our intelligence insulted by saying that anybody who disagrees with a certain viewpoint is some part of a far-right kook, as Sonali Kahatkar did on one occasion down in Los Angeles, and I looked on the net, and that was anything but it. But that people who felt that the Cuban Revolution was not good were not just reactionaries, but many on the left and I think we need a serious progressive network. We need a what I view Pacifica as a kind of electronic version of the Nation magazine. I like Ian Masters because I think he, down in LA, I think he is the kind of serious intellectual voice. I do not like this Take Back Pacifica, Take Back KPFK, which includes, among other things, a brainwashed RCP, Revolutionary Communist Party, hack who can only parrot the party line, a guy who has openly advocated the killing of police officers among, these are the kinds of people who are part of that group. So I would dismiss them as inconsequential people who are just, who's even claims to being part of it. So, in summary, we need a source of news that's not going to cover the rest of it. I was glad that I was out of state during the verdict, like I was in Boston, Massachusetts, like I was on a bus, on mega bus in the line up into Boston, and only heard about it on NPR and then later on the New York Times. But I wished WBAI didn't cover it at all, or at least when I got that back to New York, there was no coverage of it, and there's no alternative station. So I think, in conclusion, I think we have to be a progressive voice, but a progressive voice that is not laughed at, but is taken seriously by the mainstream.
Thank you.
Thank you.
The next speaker is Lawrence.
Good evening, Chair.
Good evening, Lawrence.
DCED, good evening also. Let's see. There's quite a few things I can talk about, and I don't want to be dismissive of anyone. I take everyone in this struggle very seriously, regardless if you're not working with me or wanting to work for the good of the network and our individual stations. I still take you very seriously, and I have reverence for your views, although I may not agree with them. Now, what I'm here to talk about is I heard one of the board members at one of the GM or team people in regards to diversity. That question was an answer because, and I believe this is a question that you should grapple with. Not just the question, but the concept, either the lack of it or the need for it, because it's not really being taken seriously. I'll give you an example, and I won't even address this because can I have an agenda before, or hopefully before I sit down or after I sit down? Just what you guys are doing, because I don't have an agenda, and I came up here and I traveled and because I'm interested in what you're doing. I'm a member of the governance committee of KPFK. My name is Lawrence Reyes. And there has been some issues that have been raised in the governance committee. But I don't know how many stations in the network have addressed the issues of empowering and lifting up poor people and people who are constantly under attack as soon as they leave their house because they're poor, they're working poor, or they're marginalized people, or they're isolated. And I have two members of my governance committee here, and I just hope that you come back and that you make your offer seriously in regards to the waivers and that you start working with those people who you may have some differences with. I know that I have continuously stretched out my hand in terms of wanting to get some work done, and I still want to do that because as I went around, I'm a candidate, so as I went around campaigning, seeking pledges, and some people could pay pledges, or wrote checks, gave credit card numbers, all of that. There's some people that needed waivers. I happened to offer waivers to them, and I don't know how many local station boards have adhered to the suggestions in the bylaws that waivers should be reviewed on a consistent basis. So, I don't want to ask for a show of hands because from what I understand, this may be on the agenda. And I heard a tutorial as well that was pretty demeaning in regards to the election process, and I hope that there are some remedies down the road that, if possible, you may have to remedy some programmers or some on-air personalities who may not want to give these tutorials or marginalize them or make them irrelevant. Okay, so again, I want to make sure that you address the issue of waivers and that the LSBs carry out their function and responsibility to review these waivers. Thank you.
Thank you.
The next speaker is Sasha.
Hi, I'm Sasha Futron. I'm in the KPFA LSB. I wanted to talk to you also about some of the programming on the elections. And it isn't that I really think that the elections can be done away with easily. We obviously know it takes a bylaws change. That's not something that's going to happen really easily. But the program that everybody has been referring to, I believe, is Doug Henwood's Behind the News, produced by WBAI. It airs on KPFA. I don't know if it does on the other stations in the system, and I happen to have heard that one as well, and it was really pretty shocking to hear somebody come on the air, a host, and begin his program by mocking the election process, mocking that every program is supposed to be doing some coverage of the elections, and then putting someone on who did an analysis based on false figures as to what the election costs. And they got their information from someone else. Actually, it was Matthew Lazar was where they got that information from. And I'm assuming that everybody on the PNB has read all those articles. If not, I'm sure there are a bunch of us who would gladly send you the links. And then the next thing I know, a week later on my radio, I'm listening to Against the Grain with Sasha Lilly, and I hear Ian Bowl, and they're talking against the elections. And that's all the programming other than the LSB show that I hosted this week. But I've heard in terms of programs about the election, and it's all been negative. And I know you all, a few months ago, considered something having to do with people who are hosting programs being responsible on our airwaves. And I don't pretend to remember all of the language, although I did read it at the time, of what you passed. But I do remember what I thought, which is this is pretty damn weak. And I say that as somebody who worked in broadcasting. I mean, where, and I worked in print, where do you work for a radio station, a TV station, a newspaper? I mean, can you imagine a print article in which a columnist or a reporter gets to write, the paper I work for really sucks, it has stupid ideas, it spends money foolishly, and bases their information on false figures, and has a job the next day? I've never heard of such a thing. You know, I mean, I've got to ask you folks to really take a little bit of a stronger stand on this. I mean, you know, I believe in free speech. I love what we stand for here. But this is ridiculous because it's really damaging to our stations. The average listener is not all caught up in all of this stuff that you do here and we do on our LSB. They aren't. And they really don't want to hear about the dirt and the fighting. They don't really don't want to hear, you know, tutorial and made fun of, the elections being made fun of. They don't want that in their face. And then you're going to ask them to give you money next? Why? We look like we're falling apart and we don't know what we're doing. Why would anyone give money to that? So I really ask you to, you know, reconsider what I thought was a very weak motion in terms of what happens to people who do this on our airwaves. And the other thing is, I mean, I understand the National Election Supervisor has asked all programmers to put some information on the air on their stations and programs. And one of the things, because I had her on the air with me this week, one of the things that she said was at KPFA, for example, that she was getting fairly decent response to that with the other stations. You know, no one was responding. And isn't there any backup for our election supervisor? How do we have people who are on staff say, this is something that's been passed, this is something that you need to do, and then staff gets to totally ignore that? Totally. I just find that sort of incomprehensible. Thank you.
Thank you.
The next speaker is, excuse me, because Richard.
Good evening. I have a few things to say, and I have a feeling you're all going to be shocked by it, but I think you all need to hear it. It's one of three parts that I'm going to deliver this weekend.
Tell us your name.
Richard Phelps. I'm former chair of the local board. I've been involved with KPFA since 1974. I spent 5.5 years in commercial radio. Did number one ratings one time at an AM station. I know radio. What I want to say is you folks are killing this thing. And it's not anybody in particular. You have developed a culture, which I coined a term a while back. I called it the culture of mediocrity. And you know where that comes from? Lots of different places. But the biggest one is me before we. There's no collective spirit around here. There's no willingness to stand up and scream when somebody does something really horrible. Everybody's covering their own ass because, oh, if I criticize them, then they'll criticize me. And I want to keep my air shift and I want to keep my job. But principles are just thrown out the window, totally out the window. And I'm going to give you some examples. when I first got involved with the governance process of this, what did I find? People are talking transparency, and our executive director is hiring every lawyer he can find to find one of them to tell him he doesn't have to do director's inspections. Thousands of dollars and hours of meeting time spent when the law says it's an absolute right. I spent a lot of time on that. I wrote some things on that. Very few people really took that up. But if this was truly a progressive organization, everybody should stand up and say, cut that shit out. We got to have transparency. But we have just sunk into a culture of mediocrity because nobody's willing to stand up and take any heat. Everybody's looking over their shoulder. I want this. I want to be covered. And, you know, I'm going to give you an example. Currently, a person up here that I've been struggling with for years took a $375,000 check and sat on it for a year. And then she wasn't fired right away. In the world I live in, when that was found out, I would have walked up to her, if it was one of my secretaries, because I have checks that big in my office often. They go in the bank the next day, and if they don't, somebody gets fired. And I'd walk up to that person and say, can I have your keys, please? You got 2 hours to clean out your office. Thank you for your service. You're out of here. What kind of Disneyland, Alice in Wonderland world do we live in? You don't keep somebody around 6 weeks where they can play with documents when they've shown themselves not to be loyal to you. This is just absurd. In 2007, here's a perfect example of what I'm talking about. In 2007, during the election, the management that ran KPFA, contrary to all the prior practices of running three carts at a time, ran all 22 of them at once and put their favorite candidate first every time. Now, you know, what's wrong with that philosophy and ideology? It's cheating. It's not fair. It's just wrong. But you know why I don't like it? Because if you take that philosophy and elevate it to the national government, you have imperialism and war. Because it's unethical, it's unfair, and it's wanting to win at any cost. And that's just what happens when you expand it. We have got to have a culture that says, fair play, let's be honest, let's struggle politically fairly, and the best people win. But if we're going to keep playing these dirty tricks, if we're going to keep playing these things, if we're going to, every time there's a bylaws issue, everybody tries to twist it. And believe me, I've criticized both sides for that. I only have one favorite team, and that's principles. Truth, justice, transparency, and democratic process. And even the people on my side know this. That's why some of them don't like me. When they violate and step across that line, I call them on it. And I'm calling all of you on it. And I'll be back for a little more of this, because this organization doesn't pass the laugh test. If I ran my law practice this way, I'd be sitting out in front of here selling pencils.
Thank you.
The last speaker is Max.
My name is Max Blanchet. I have a few things to talk about. First of all, I'd like to tell you that I'm very worried, I think, about the financial situation. I read the reports. I even prepare my own charts. I invite my friends to look at the financial reports and give me their opinion. I circulate that stuff. I'm very worried. I think we are headed for bankruptcy. I'm being very blunt about it. And the figures have been bad for quite a while. And I was particularly astounded to discover that last year, after I read the audit report, that at KPFA we had burned through, $1 million. And there was never any reporting done on that. We do have a treasurer. I would have thought that the treasurer at some point would have caught some of this, but this was never reported. And, of course, there is the small matter of that $375,000 check that disappeared. Absolutely shocking. I say this because KPFA used to be one of the financial pillars of the organization. Now it's gone. Okay, it is gone. And so what concerns me is, and I'm not criticizing the current management at KPFA, at Pacifica. I think these are people I see almost every day. I think they're trying to do a very good job. It's very hard. It's very hard to change the organization. There is a culture in this place, Pacifica in general, that's very deeply rooted. In part, that's what we are dealing with. It's very hard to change. I understand that. But I had hoped about a year ago that we would get there faster. We would take corrective action much faster. This, to me, is not happening. And I think we need more transparency. We need to have more of an honest dialogue with our members out there to let them know where we are. And the way we are, like the state of California, there is more transparency in the state of California than I see at Pacifica. So I'll stop here regarding the budget and the financial difficulties. I did hear listen to the programs on the elections, not on the elections, but programs that dealt with the elections, especially that program on Saturday morning at 10 o'clock and at KPFA. And this is a program that I listen to every weekend when I have the opportunity, because I think it's an excellent program. Somebody mentioned or referred to the fact that there is a lack of diversity in our leftist views, lack of I call it. I have a way of looking at it. I refer to it as a cliche leftism. I think there's too much of that involved. Look, folks, I will be 70 years old this month. I have seen an awful lot. Yes, thank you very much. Thank you very much. And thank you. I have a grandson. I have no illusions in any longer about many things. I've seen too much. I've read too many books. I have seen too many governments at work. And at times when I listen to KPFA, to Pacific, I won't mention names, I have the feeling that what has happened in the last 80 years never happened. Okay, I speak Spanish, I speak Creole, French, English, and I read newspapers. I do a lot of that every day. I read Venezuelan newspapers, El País from Spain, Le Monde Diplomatique, the Haitian newspapers. Look, I don't always need KPFA to tell me what I need to think about Haiti. I can think for myself. But at the very least, I expect people to approach things more intelligently, with the nuances. Have I ever heard a critical view, for instance, of the Cuban Revolution at KPFA? I must say no. I read Le Monde Diplomatique. They have serious articles on the goings-on in Cuba or in Venezuela. Okay, but hey, look, we put people on a pedestal. They can do no wrong. At my age, I just don't buy that stuff any longer. Okay, I wish that the station would do a better job than what we are doing now. And I think there is a lack of depth. I think there is a certain intellectual laziness, folks. Hey, let's be real. I have to say it. And as for the stuff on the elections, that program on Saturday morning, I always listen to it. I think it's very good, very thoughtful. The guy does his homework. But this stuff on the elections I thought was dishonest. I think that I would expect progressive people at least to have some sort of a debate on the air, bring in other views, have an honest discussion of the whole electoral process. I have my reservations. I was involved in the bylaws. Excellent. I was involved in the bylaws. You mean I have no time left? I will stop here. Thank you very much. And I wish you will rise to the occasion and I deal with the problem that we are facing, namely that we are headed for bankruptcy. Thank you.
Thank you. So that's the last speaker. I want to thank you all for being here, for the commitment that you have to this network and to the progressive future that we're looking to create. We're meeting again tomorrow morning at 9 a.m. I'll see to it that we have agendas out there somewhere if people can pick up and sort of have a game plan for what we're doing. The meeting is over time. It's adjourned. I'll see you in the morning.